Radio Chaser is brought to you by The Weather. Don't have anything to say? Talk about us. Weather.
Sydney, a city of coffee, beer, wine, and fear. Mainly the fear that drinking so much coffee, wine, and beer was a bad idea. It's to cities what hangovers are to drinking. But we love it. So sit back and take the ultimate cure. 1 hour of pure, uncut Radio Chaser.
Welcome to the program. My name is Dom Knight. Andrew Hansen here. Charles Firth in today. Another report from our good friend Slammin' Sporto Stan from the Sports World Sports and Accessories Sports Desk. And a big controversy at St. Paul's College at Sydney University. Apparently some badly behaving boys there. But first of all, guys, don't you hate it when you share something on social media and then you realise it was a little bit wrong?
Yeah, especially when you're the Prime Minister of Australia. That's really slightly more embarrassing than if you're not. I mean, what an incumbent. This is our new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. I suppose he thought he was getting down and cool with the kids or whatever.
So funny. I saw it pop up on Twitter last night. Like, he shares this video. It says, like, well done, team. Question time went off today. And then there's this video of them all putting their hands up in the air to this song, Fat Man Scoop.
You got $100 bill, get your hands up. You got a $50 bill, get your hands up. You got a $20
bill, be faithful, it's called.
So, you got a $10 bill.
And that's problem one, isn't it? The Liberal Party talking about how great it is to have money. But that's not really the image they're going for.
How many $50 bills they have. And then the second problem that Morrison had was he investigated the full lyrics to that song and discovered they were a little bit naughty. In fact, extremely naughty, because it's a rap song. And he actually sent he deleted it and sent a new tweet saying, the full lyrics of the song used were just not okay. When I found out, I asked the team to take it down. Oh, it was the team, was it,
look,
Scott?
Okay, look,
it was
the come team. On. The great thing about this, we've got a conservative Christian Prime Minister, and his video on his Twitter says, the lyric is, I won't say the full word, of course, but who effing tonight? Who effing tonight? I'm quoting here from the official lyrics. Who effing tonight? Uh-oh. Who effing tonight? Look, I think the social media intern effed up, to be perfectly frank.
Frankly, I think the mistake, though, guys, is him apologising for this. I think he should have leaned into this. I think Turnbull never posted videos like that. I think the reason why they elected Morrison Prime Minister, we've now finally got the reason why they wanted Morrison in there, to post videos like this.
Yeah, videos with dirty rap songs. Well, I'm afraid, Charles, Morrison is not of a mind with you. Not only has he apologised on social media, but he's also recorded a spoken apology too.
A message from our new Prime Minister.
Hi, Scott Morrison here. I'd like to sincerely apologise for posting that video that had a rude song on it.
Let's go!
Who's f***ing in that? Who's f***ing in that? Who's f***ing in that?
No, don't play the song again. I'm apologising for it.
Sorry. I've since learned there's a type of music called, what's it called again? Oh, that's right, hip-hop. And who knew? But hip-hop lyrics aren't suitable for government announcements. Well, I can't think of any better way to say sorry than in the sensitive words of Lily Allen. Apologies again. I've just been informed the lyrics to that song are not okay. So I'd instead like to offer this apology.
Shut up, bitch. Shut up, bitch. Suck my dick. Suck my dick. You fucking bop. You better swallow it.
Oops, sorry again. I didn't know the song Bitch Suck Dick had rude lyrics. I guess as a Christian, my only safe option is to say sorry with religious music. So let me leave you with my favourite sacred Christmas carol by Kevin Bloody Wilson.
I ain't Santa Claus, you c***. Where's me f***ing boy?
I'm Scott Morrison, and I'm f***ing sorry.
That I like.
Radio Chaser, Triple M.
Huge social media controversy. There's about 600 of them going at any one time in the world these days. But this one is very bizarre. This is actually from Brisbane. A girl by the name of Harper Nielsen, 9 years old. She's made national and international headlines after refusing to stand during the national anthem at Kenmore South State School. Now, we heard of the NFL players doing this. This is a little schoolgirl doing it. And by doing this, she's been threatened with a suspension. The education ministers, the shadow education ministers, gotten stuck in. Pauline Hanson's called her a brat, and it's made a huge amount of headlines. It's a huge story. Isn't that bizarre? A 9-year-old girl can get the whole world talking.
I must say, I found it really interesting because she pointed out that for We Are Young and Free is actually a really offensive thing to Indigenous people because, you know, we're not young. We've been around here for 50, 60,000 years if you're an Indigenous person.
And look, free's stretching it too in some parts of the country, to be frank. But
yes, and I'd actually never paid attention before to the lyrics. It hadn't even occurred to me that you should ever listen to the national anthem.
You just tune it out normally while sitting down and ignoring it.
We do need to know more about this song. So in honour of that and of her protest, good honour having an opinion at Stage 9, we have a bunch of facts for you about Advance Australia Fair.
Fact that's amazing.
Many people criticise the national anthem, but it is the first in the world in at least one important respect. By all objective criteria, the Australian national anthem ranks number one as the world's worst anthem.
Fact.
Yeah, look, I always think that Advance Australia Fair... Australia Fair sounds like the name of a crappy shopping centre built in 1973.
I think there is one on the Central Coast.
All right.
Our Land is Girt by Sea was voted the lamest song lyric since Rebecca Black's Friday song.
So very factual.
The words of the Australian National Anthem are entirely accurate as long as they're sung in a sarcastic tone of voice.
Fact.
Now, I'm just going to take a moment with this because I love this fact. This is true. The original version of the National Anthem had this as its second verse. When gallant Cook from Albion sailed to trace wide oceans o'er, true British courage bore him on till he landed on our shore. It's really shit.
Fact.
That actually is a true
That's
fact,
true.
Isn't it?
I didn't even make that one up.
I'm supposed to put true fact. Here's one for you. In 1977, this is true. In 1977, a plebiscite was held to vote for which song should be the anthem. The options offered were Advance Australia Fair, A Skullful of Maggots by Cannibal Corpse, and the theme music from Hey Dad.
Fact.
Except in the Australian National Anthem, nobody has ever used the word girt.
Fact.
A better national anthem than Advance Australia Fair would just be a recording of a koala belching.
Fact.
When the anthem plays, the correct body language for showing respect is standing, twerking, or taking a crap in the reverse kanga position.
Fact.
Triple M Radio Chaser.
Dom, do you remember a couple of months ago... The two people in England got poisoned in a park. They were found throthing and dying in this
park
in England.
Yeah, and everyone thought it was the Russians.
Yeah, yeah. And it turned out to be a sort of deadly nerve agent only made by Russians called Novichok. And anyway, fast forward to yesterday, and Russian TV actually aired an interview with the two men that Britain has accused of travelling to England to assassinate the two people who were found in the park. And it was a very bizarre interview.
Was the aim to convince us all of the innocence of these two fine citizens?
Yeah, they said their excuse was we were just tourists. We've got nothing to do. The fact that we're Russians and we happen to be exactly at the same place as that park with the Novichok at the same time has nothing to do with it. It did sort of raise a whole lot of suspicions, this interview. But we've actually got the interview here, and I think you can just judge for yourself.
MI6 says you're the assassins who poisoned an enemy of Putin with a deadly nerve agent.
Absurd. We are average Joes.
But you look exactly like Russian spies.
Rubbish. We just look like two normal Russian office workers who happen to spend 50 hours a week at gym.
So why did you go to England?
Well, we urgently wanted to see Stonehenge, and only Stonehenge.
You headed straight there from the airport.
Yes, our mission was to go to England, conduct enjoyable sightseeing of Stonehenge, then leave country without delay.
Oh yes, nothing could stop us from seeing Stonehenge.
But you didn't go to Stonehenge. You went to the town nearby where the nerve agent was found.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we hear that Stonehenge might be a bit muddy.
Oh, yes. As average Joes from Russia, we have an extreme fear of mild muddiness. So we immediately cancelled our mission, holiday, and returned to Russia.
But before you did, you were seen walking around the town right past the place where the nerve agent was found.
No, that is lying.
This is CCTV footage of you walking around town.
That is not us.
You're wearing a name badge?
Okay, that is us. But we don't know anything about deadly nerve agent Novichok or its organophosphorus core with acetylcholinesterase enzyme.
Okay, this is a YouTube video of you called Two Trained Russian Assassins Explain How to Apply a Fatal Dose of Novichok.
There is perfectly innocent explanation.
What? What possible explanation could make this look innocent?
Well, I'll tell you in one second, but before I do, would you like sample of this new perfume?
Sure, I can't see any reason why I wouldn't. Oh no! It was Novichok! Oh!
Well done, Sergei. Mission accomplished.
What are you talking about? Mission not accomplished. We still haven't conducted enjoyable sightseeing of Stonehenge.
Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Now, Dommy and Firth, or should I say Firtho, or Domo, or Dimity Dom Dom Dom?
That's what they call me, actually, Dimity Dom Dom Dom. I get that all the time.
You know, I've been thinking about funny names, like weird nicknames for people because of The Bachelor. This has got me thinking, you know, this guy's nickname, he's got to have the weirdest and possibly worst nickname I've ever heard of any person who's ever lived. He's called the Honey Badger.
Isn't it weird when you hear an ad for The Bachelor and he goes, yeah, g'day, it's the Honey Badger here, just go... Well, surely a honey badger. He's not the honey badger. The honey badger was the one in the YouTube clip that inspired the whole thing. Come on, mate. You're talking yourself up.
That's right. He's named after a viral animal. Yeah, I mean, true. It's a very weird nickname. I mean, well, at school, people used to call me Doc.
Did they?
Yeah. I was referred to as Doc because by the in-group because they thought that I was the only kid in this year who could read.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're teased for being a nerd.
But that's all right. After a few toilet flushings, I came to terms with it. I started quite enjoying being called Doc.
Well, that's better than my nickname in primary school. See, I grew up in the 80s, which is the time of, I guess, AIDS education campaigns. And so I got Domadic, first of all. But then when people started doing the AIDS ads, it was Condom. And Condom. Soon it was just Con. Everyone called me Con for a very long time. Then Con the Fruiterer came out and it got confusing.
That explains so much about you, Dom. Because I think that nicknames always have a sort of slight resemblance to the truth. That's what
they
makes
do.
Them hurt.
Yeah, and you're a massive dick in clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because I'm made of latex, what it is.
But that's why the Honey Badger is actually... Like, I'm going to defend the Honey Badger as a nickname because... Have you seen what a honey badger actually looks like? Like the Rattel, the honey badger animal, looks exactly like the honey badger on the TV.
He does look a bit similar. That is true. No, you've got a point there. But I mean, it just kind of got me wondering whether there's anybody out there who has as weird a nickname as the honey badger, or maybe even weirder. Do you or somebody you know have a very weird nickname? 133353. We'd love to hear from you. Give the lines a call. Do you have a nickname that can beat or match the Honey Badger?
And look, if the Honey Badger's on the line, feel free to call and tell us more about what's on The Bachelor and how you got the nickname. Yeah, 133353. If you've got a nickname as weird or even weirder, if such a thing exists, than the Honey Badger. Radio Chaser, talking about weird nicknames, I'm Con. Andrew's Doc. And Charles Firth's been very silent on whether he at some point had a nickname that could mix it with the Honey Badger.
I did. I had Fleety Foot Firth when I was in year four.
What? Were you considered fast?
Do you remember British Bulldogs?
Yes.
Great guy. Very healthy.
And they always, every year they'd ban tackling in British Bulldogs after about 2 weeks at school. Remember
that's
that?
Right.
Yes, it was an annual ban. I don't know how it got reinstated every time and then banned again.
And I now realise all these years later that I think Fleety Foot Firth might have been a sarcastic nickname.
Right, you're not Fleety of Foot.
Yeah.
So you were the part of the British Empire that got conquered easily, were you?
Yeah, I was the Kenya. Man.
And during the breakout, producer Lee said he had a mate who had the fantastic flattering nickname of Tampon Head. So that's a good one.
He was very absorbent, though, when there was a spill. 133353, what's your weird nickname? Can we top the Honey Badger for sheer weirdness? Billy's on the line. Hey, Billy. Hello. What was your nickname?
So I was called Billy the Squid.
Billy the Squid?
Why? Billy the Squid. You know, is that a Viz comic or something? No, that's Billy the Fish.
I was working in the kitchen. And I was called Billy the Kid. And then we got another Billy who was younger. So I got upgraded to Billy the Squid.
Why Squid, man?
I don't know. Because it rhymes and I've got a tendency to spray ink when I'm frightened.
That'll do it. That's very good. 1-3-5-3. Let's go to someone by the name of Ferret here from Warragamba. Ferret, what's your nickname, Ferret?
They call me Ferret because they call me a ferret effer.
Conflict
resolution course for security.
Is your name Richard Gere?
It just turned into a laugh.
Ferret the effer.
Known as just Ferret now.
That's probably...
It's a bit weird at work. They've just got the ways of the ferret.
Oh, but how is it to have an actual swear word as part of your nickname? I mean, how do you get introduced at formal occasions?
Just Ferret.
Just Ferret, okay. Ferret, so did you get married as Ferret?
No.
Do you accept Ferret to be your lawfully wedded effer?
Or maybe your wife takes the name. She's Mrs. Ferret.
That could be it. That's great. Thank you, Ferret. Have a good one. Let's go to Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hi, boys. How you going?
Yeah, good. What's your nickname?
James Arthur Broomchild Esquire III.
How on earth is that a nickname? That sounds like a title.
It is a true nickname. And people end up getting sick of it. I end up just getting Broomchild.
That's pretty good. I think that actually is in Honey Badger territory for weirdness. What's the story behind it? Are you a bit posh?
Broomchild Esquire III. Thank you.
Broomchild. It has to be said like that, right? Or you won't respond? You won't turn around if somebody says Broomchild Esquire III.
No, it was like British royalty.
It's not everyone who's got a testy pop in their nickname. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty good. Let's move on. We've got Anne here from Kings Langley. Hey, Anne.
Hi.
What's the nickname?
Beezer Boo Pot. My sister's nickname.
How come? Did you give it to her?
No, my grandfather did apparently. But all my brother's friends, they all call her that still.
Can you say it again? What is it?
Beezer Boo Pot.
Beezer Boo Pot. And what does this mean? Yeah. Where does this come from?
I don't know where it's come from. Apparently my grandfather called it her.
Well, I've been lost in the mist of time.
Yeah.
I think you need to go to ancestry.com and look up Beezer Boo Pot.
Sounds pretty funny, though. Thank you for that. Let's go to Sam here. Hey, Sam.
Hey, it's Ben. How
Ben, sorry, Ben. What's your nickname?
It's Daintree.
Daintree. How come?
It's in relation to the Daintree rainforest because back in primary school, I developed a lot quicker than my other mates.
Oh, hello. Right. You got a bit of undergrowth.
Yeah, a bit of that going
Dane tree.
On. So everyone was quite shocked.
Dane tree. That's brilliant.
I love how creative it can be.
I know. Kids are geniuses. That is genius.
They are great.
And that is very... And were you proud to sort of, take tourists through this rainforest?
Oh, look, it's exactly right. It was quite a good laugh when everyone said they were going up to the Great Barrier Reef and the Daintree Rainforest. I said, why are you going up there? You can just go right next door. But,
I think it's worthy of a Chaser prize pack. Well done.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by The Weather, a conversation starter since 1971. The Weather.
Yeah, look, great to have the weather on board. We're going to, for the rest of the show, the next 20 minutes, just talk about the weather.
I can't wait.
No, we're not. Look, amazing news from Sydney Uni. St Paul's College has been accused of sexism, and they got the Sex Discrimination Commissioner to do a report into what goes on there. It's pretty extraordinary. They ate sheep's hearts during initiations. They had a room full of mattresses called the Bone Room. They invited women in there. Pretty gross stuff.
Classy.
And on Anzac Day, they sent people on platoons, a pub crawl that became so drunken that floors had to be covered in tarpaulins and buckets. So, look, it's pretty kind of backward stuff, bit sexist, a bit gross. And, look, the management of the college have vowed to change things and really clean it up. But I think when you listen to the ad for St Paul's College, you can understand how they might have run into a few difficulties.
At today's universities, men are taught to show respect to women.
Except at St Paul's College. Oh. St Paul's will raise your teenage boofhead the way we did before women even went to uni.
Hi, I'm a St Paul's student and multi-millionaire. For my initiation, they dumped me in the middle of nowhere, a place called Parramatta. But after that, I came to love the opportunity for drinking, bullying, and homoerotic play.
I'm scared of women, so this is the perfect place to hide before I go to another all-male environment like a corporate boardroom or the Liberal Party front bench.
Women are welcome at Paul's too, as long as they work in the kitchen or clean our rooms.
Ah,
Thanks.
So put your son's balls in Paul's.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Radio Chaser on Triple M. Now, this show used to be a little bit behind much of Triple M when it came to sports credibility, but then we solved it with Australia's most respected sports commentator, Slammin' Sporto Stan, from the Sports World Sports and Accessories Sports Desk.
Slammin' Sporto Stan, from the Sports World Sports and Accessories Sports Desk. Brought to you by Sports.
That's yes. Right. It's been a huge week in sport, Dom and Andrew. Absolutely huge, absolutely massive week.
Can you tell us about it, sir? What's going on?
Well, the footy finals are here, and it's an absolutely massive weekend in the NRL. How massive do you think it is? How massive do you think it is?
Is it as massive as MG?
Is it?
Wrong.
Is it as?
It's not. It's more massive than that.
Is it as massive as like an MG blimp? Like a blimp with MG's face on the front of it?
No, you stupid idiot. It's way more massive than that.
Oh, my God, it must be massive.
It's massively, massively, massively massive. Would that's you how say, massive.
Is it as massive as, like, the is. Entire Bulldogs team naked sitting on each other's shoulders like a giant tower of Bulldogs players? Is it more massive than that, Slammin' Sporto Stan?
Yes, it's way more massive than that. That's tiny compared to how massive this weekend is in NRL. I don't have anything more to add about the NRL. I just had to say that. But no, the Rabbitoh players are having a massive weekend this weekend, and they're also playing the Dragons. Anyway, going on to Australian cricket, the players are now going to get a say in who their captains are, which yes. I think is a great innovation. I've always said players are best placed to work out which player is best at being able to hide all the cheating. So good on Cricket Australia there. And finally, in the AFL, Perth Stadium is almost 1 year old this week. Turns out it's stupid. Do you know why?
Why?
Why, Stan?
Because it's too small. It's only got 60,000 seats. What a joke. What a stupid joke. The AFL final between West Coast and Collingwood sold out in 2 minutes. I've got a message for the West Australian government. Do what the New South Wales government would do and just knock it down. It's already 1 year old. It's too small. It's too old. Get rid of it. Only costs $1.6 billion. Okay, anyway, now it's time for
Slammin' Sporto Stan's Tip of the Week. Brought to you by Shitbet.
Yeah, the casino carp muster is on this week. Huh? Best carp catch wins the casino carp muster. But the problem is, with the depletion of the world's oceans, my hot tip is that nobody will catch any carp this weekend. Humans, zero, carp, one. You heard it here first.
Slammin' Sporto Stan, a pleasure as always. Have a great weekend. How huge is the weekend going to be again?
It's going to be huge. And Dom, if you want to catch up with more discussion about the week in sport, you can catch me on a special Facebook Live video that I'll be doing with the Rabbitohs later tonight.
Make sure we're there. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. What a legend.
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Now, Radio Chaser, available as a podcast whenever you like, triplem.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts. And we have a brand new podcast. It's called Cat's Pajamas with the Chaser. What we're doing is looking at some great stuff from history and asking, is it Cat's Pajamas or Cat's Piss? Things like North Korea, for instance, visiting North Korea. Would that be Cat's Pajamas or Cat's Piss? We're talking about that in about 20, 30 minutes detail. We've had a lot of fun making that, guys.
Oh, man. It's been a very odd delve into twisted things in history. We looked at, like, weird crap that Henry VIII ate at lunch.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Well, that was an interesting one. You know, 20 different kinds of meat, I think he had, didn't he?
Mind you, the fact that he ate porpoise was great. I mean, I now enjoy porpoise for most lunches.
This is why you should listen to the podcast. You might find all sorts of interesting recipe ideas, beavers. porpoises, honey badgers, delicious in a wrap, in a low carb wrap.
So that's up there now. There's six up there now, and we're going to put a new one up every week for roughly the rest of the year. And here's the regular radio version, which we do just about every day.
Cat's pajamas or cat's piss.
Yes, Charles and Andrew, my question for you first of all, and look, a cat might have a different view on this, actually. Would you eat the world's smelliest fish? It's a can of herring so stinky that experts advise opening it underwater. It's called surströmming, or Swedish sour herring. It's stored for months and it marinades in its own bacteria. Would you be willing to try? Is that cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
I personally would definitely eat it. I love stinky fish. That's like, I love a roll mop. I love the taste that a roll mop, like, it's that sort of, you know, the taste that you get just before you're going to vomit? That's the taste you get when you have a roll mop. It's so delicious.
Right, just pre-vomit in the back of your mouth or whatever it is. Yeah. No, I love stinky foods generally. I mean, I'm a big fan. It's cat's pajamas for me. I love stinky cheese. I actually sometimes, if my dinner's not stinky enough, I'll actually go down the street to the tip and eat dinner just there.
I love the idea of it marinating its own bacteria. We don't do that enough. I mean, I generally throw food away when it's gone off and it's riven with bacteria, but clearly I'm doing it wrong.
I want to see fast food restaurants introduce more stinky food. I'd like to be able to walk into a McDonald's or a KFC and just go, wow, it's really incredibly stinky with horrible aging fish in here.
It'd be great to have a sort of bacteria, like the fillet of fish, like maybe a bacteria o fish.
I wonder in Sweden if they have this a fillet of this particular stinky fish. I'm not entirely sure.
Radio Chaser, Triple M.